views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 8th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It is a Wednesday, that means it's a on-the-clock Guardian Radio mashup, man-down session, and this week's show, we are talking convention and by-election. I'm not sure in what order. I don't know if I like the order the PLP have for this. But you know, they like one order, so we let it be. Producer, when you get a chance, I want you to play that song for me by Madame Calypso Mama, Madame Duvalier, Maureen Duvalier, the most fitting song for today's show. There you go.
Ask me why I run. Tell you why I run. Say the woman at the door had a doggone shotgun. That is why.
Robin Lines, everybody wants to know why you running. I want to know why it matters. Why are you running? What's most important is that you're running. Did you putting yourself up for the challenge? And there are many of us out here that support you just for that. I myself, we don't need to have the same politics for me to defend your right to participate in political life, frontline politics. As a woman, I stand with you because you have the right to challenge. I stand with you just because you're another woman like me. No problem with it. You don't have to tell me why you're running. I'm cool with that. That you're running is all that we need to know. And we stand to defend your right to run. Free and fair elections. Some of us, we stand in with you. We ain't even PLP. We don't care about the politics. We stand in because you have a right to stand and to offer yourself. Anyway, good morning. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar team is headed to Long Island, November 14th through 17th. On Tuesday, November 14th at 6 p.m., you can learn about the digital Bahamian dollar at the community meeting held at NGM Major High School. On Wednesday, November 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can experience the Sand Dollar when you attend the team's Top Up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. You can download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart, and you get $5 back on exit. Merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email to sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good yawning this morning? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Good yawning this morning, Erin. How are you doing today?
Hi, good, thank you. Time change.
Time, boy, doctor.
Yeah.
Mind you, I did not remember why I hate this time change until I saw traffic last night. And I was pitch dark, and it was only 6 o'clock. And I said, my God, it's about 9:38. And I say, this ain't working for me. This time change isn't working for me, Erin.
Yeah.
Why do we have this time change?
I don't know, but I'm hoping that at this latest PLP convention, that they put on the table for consideration and discussion the question of whether it's time for us to leave this time zone.
It needs to be discussed. And I think... This is why we need Fred Mitchell to remain chairman, because only him will bring this to the fore and we'll have a discussion.
I can be honest with you, only Fred Mitchell could lead us into a new time zone.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so let's start with the convention. All things convention. Let me read this quote from yesterday's Tribune in the article. PM said Lines, quote, doesn't have my support for chairman. At the very end of the article, the quote from the Prime Minister is, well, you know, the conventions are used to have our policies informed, our initiatives crafted, and we expect that delegates will be engaged in all these topics that we have, out of which we have some outcomes, help shape our policies going forward, right? And so the Prime Minister's indicated one of the things they're going to do at this convention is work on policy.
Did they mention what the policy they plan to be working on, or is that a secret only for PLP?
Well, they have mentioned some of the issues that they're going to talk about. In the article, PLP to discuss marital rape, legalizing marijuana for recreational use, transitioning to a republic at convention, that's in the Nassau Tribune, 26th of October. So you could follow if you want. The PLP will discuss marital rape, legalizing marijuana for recreational use, and transitioning to a republic at the convention.
These all seem like governance type things, not party politics type things.
Yeah.
But they both are the same.
Well, these are governance issues. Mm-hmm. And that's the distinction I wanted to make. The convention isn't just to discuss internal PLP policy matters. The convention is a space that they use to come to an agreement on what policy the PLP administration should take both to the House of Assembly and to cabinet.
So it's not the executive that decides this is the agenda that we will put forward, but it's in the wider body of PLPs has the opportunity to contribute and say, hey, Madam Executives, these are the present issues for us.
Right, and maybe this is a spotlight on the practice of democracy in that party structure, right? They say, we bring the issues that we think are pertinent to the convention floor so that our delegates and our party members can inform, can share, can grow and build policy. And then we take that to the House of Assembly, and we either legislate it there, or we go to the cabinet and we determine whether these policy ideas can fit within the scope of existing legislation. Like, we don't have to change the law to implement these policy shifts.
I know you mentioned marital rape as one of the topics that the PLP party
said that they're going to be discussing
mm-hmm. in order to craft a policy that they more likely will bring. But the government already decided, though. Anyway, were they more likely will be putting forward towards the government and the government level? But it seems to me, mm-hmm. it seems as if the vast majority of PLP delegates, and I'm assuming here, that's just me, does not support the marital rape bill. So is this a time where the executive tried to explain their responsibility on why they're pushing it already beyond them in the House of Assembly? Is that what's happening?
Well, with this particular marital rape issue, I'll make this distinction. I'm looking for the exact quote, but I'm certain I can paraphrase it accurately, right? What the Prime Minister indicated in terms of marital rape was that his administration is prepared to deal with the matter however they can. Suggesting to me that even if they can't agree that criminalizing an offense or creating an offense called marital rape, even if they don't agree on that, that they will provide recourse for women who have experienced rape or grievous sexual violence in their relationship, right? So he didn't commit to creating an offense called marital rape. What he did commit to was addressing it with legislation, right? And we could see that in the public discourse and in the advocacy space, proponents are suggesting that we don't need to create an offense called marital rape to criminalize the act of raping your spouse. Bang. So even though many delegates may not agree on creating an offense called marital rape, I suppose that they are open to finding an alternative for spouses that are experiencing severe, grievous sexual violence and rape in their marriages.
And I know that the PLP, and this is my word again, tends to be secretive. No, secretive is a bad word. Protective of their party and their party politics.
Yeah.
So this is why they have breakout section and don't have the media there. Say, well, this first right. one for everybody, and this last one is just for delegates
yeah,
alone.
So the day sessions are going to be closed to delegates only and formal participants only. They say the evening session will be open to the public.
And that's where the food and stuff comes
in. It better be.
But this is why I brought it up. There, when one has convention, and by extension the FNM also, there should be someone narrating what is happening. So we people who may want to join the Progressive Liberal Party in this instance will understand that, hey, this is how one becomes a delegate. That's mm-hmm. an educational thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the responsibilities of the delegate. These are the persons who have been selected and how those persons are selected. And this is what happens during a breakout session.
Right.
And this is the conclusion of a breakout session, and then how it moves from the breakout session from delegates to the executive, and then how the executives implement whatever has been concluded.
Right. Like if
but I'm not sure if that ever happened. I have no clue what happens at a PLP convention.
Right.
Like, and what is the responsibility of persons who are there?
While they're in the closed sessions, you have your moderators or your moderators engaging the public through public broadcasts or whatever. We don't know what's going on in the session, but you could say, hey, this is the session that's going on now. This is what they do in this type of session.
This is the topic they're discussing.
And then you fill it in. You fill in the gaps with PLP history, with political history generally, with the rules. How do you join? How do you become a member? What types of contributions do the party consider? For instance, there is an award coming up. I'm not sure if I captured it, but a part of the convention, they're going to be honoring people, right?
Okay.
And so what is the criteria? How do I prepare myself? I have a vision.
But I remember the chairman speaking about this, saying 50 honorees, and these will be people who have never served in the Senate or a member of parliament.
Right.
But have dedicated themselves to the party.
Right. Then I would use the space to talk about the changes to the PLP constitution.
But let's talk about that. And yeah. Let's just stick a pin right there, right?
Yeah.
What are the changes to the PLP constitution? I've been looking online. I know I asked you, because you say you do more better research than me, right? Go online to the 12 websites that the PLP has. And few people know that the PLP have a lot of websites. All kind of websites.
I telling you.
Right, social media pages like crazy. But I ain't seen no information, Aaron. You find any information?
Listen, this is one of the most treacherous searches I've been on. No, I can't find a copy of the PLP Constitution online. Maybe I don't have the correct link. Because here's what I found about the website, right? For instance, I go to the website. First thing...
Do you remember which website you went to? Because I can say it's about 12 of them.
Well, listen, I went to the only one that popped up on my Google search.
Go ahead.
I searched for 30 minutes straight,
mm-hmm.
just re-entering. The only website is, I think, plpbahamas.org. I remember there was a myplpbahamas.org, yeah. But I can't find it.
And then a new PLP. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. So I'm on the website. First issue I have is that there are no articles more recent than September 2022. So in this moment, if you have a link, you have the website link to the current PLP website, please send it to 422GR96, that's 422-4796, or you could call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. My Family Island listeners, 242-300-5720, toll-free, and let me know if you know the current PLP website address. So I'm searching. I see a link on Google for Blueprint for Change. So I know Blueprint for Change is relatively recent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I click on that link. It takes me to the same website. It doesn't have the Print for Change on it, it provides me with a contact form. And they can send me, I guess they can send me the link to the Blueprint for Change. So I search PLP Party Constitution. It takes me to the same website, and the page says PLP Constitution. It just has a contact form for weekly updates. So I couldn't find the Constitution online. Maybe it is, but you need to know the direct link. It's not a direct link on the website itself. But it's interesting. The reason I really, really was looking for it, because Neil Hartnell in a recent Tribune article references the many changes that were made to the PLP Constitution. But the only changes that we've seen reflected in media stories are the two that we already sort of touched on, which was that the nomination process has changed. You won't be allowed to give a nomination from the convention floor any longer.
Pause there to reiterate that. That means I cannot come there and say, hey, I want John to be chairman.
Right. No nominations from the floor. Not only that, nominations must be made in writing at least a minimum of 14 days before the convention.
So those incumbent must be warned that people plan to challenge them beforehand, so they prepare themselves.
And who plans to challenge them? One of the things I would have loved to have seen was the schedule, was the actual nomination form. How many people have to sign? You know, when you nominate in the by-election, you got to have five signatures. How many people have to endorse you, right? And so all of that is information.
So no first and second should be detailed as to what is criteria to be nominated.
Right. There's just nothing. You can't find anything. And to me, this seems to be creating an advantage for the incumbent.
In order to challenge the leader, and in the future, I'm assuming that they'll have an election for the leader and co-leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, since we're talking about the Progressive Liberal Party per se. Has there been any change in the Constitution regarding that? How does one recommend or say challenge for the leadership? Because I'm picturing an afternoon with Tommy Turnquest, and all of a sudden you see Ingram in the back coming with a sea of people then getting nominated.
So watch this. We, when reading media stories about the absence of of races, we've listened to the PLP say there will not be a challenge for leader or deputy leader of the party. But I read a statement, another article, and what that reporter details Mr. Mitchell is saying is, I don't foresee a challenge to leader and deputy leader, which is different from there will be no challenge, right? There will be no challenge suggests that the executive itself has not allowed, right? They're not engaging in those leadership races. But I don't think that's what happened. I think that people were discouraged from challenging leader and deputy leader, and that deputy leader and leader are open for challenge at any convention. I don't think there's a rule that says we can exclude leader and deputy leader from this convention. I think that's just pressure from the party executive to its members that we don't want to see a challenge. And, you know, that's totally different from outlawing a challenge. Now, one thing I read was that one of the matters that were put on the table at the last convention where these constitutional changes were sort of ratified, that a request was put on the table or a suggestion that they extend the time period between conventions from 1 year to 2 years, and that the body membership voted that down.
Okay. So the PLP, so they appreciate the annual convention.
Right. The PLP, per its constitution, supposed to have a convention every year. And I presume that all of the seats are up for challenge at every convention.
I thought the phone was blinking just now, but let me ask you this, right? I know who the leader is. I know who the deputy leader is. I know who the chairman is. But there's also Barbara Cartwright, who's the secretary general.
Yeah.
What is the role of the secretary general? Why is this Barbara Cartwright so quiet? And perhaps what we are seeing, the machinery, the mechanism of the party is done by Ms. Cartwright and not necessarily by the chairman. Because we tend to blame the chairman, say, well, the chairman's responsible for this, but the day-to-day operations of the party is done by the Secretary General. And I'm not sure we appreciate her role, the narrative of what she does, mm-hmm. and the power that she wields.
And the,
I'm not sure if even people know what she looks like.
And the gentleman, Quentin Lightbourne, Senator Quentin Lightbourne is the convention co-chair. So I imagine that for convention, the Secretary General becomes the convention, becomes the convention chair. There is a, let me see if this sentence says, but PLP Secretary General and Convention Co-Chair Barbara Cartwright. So she's also the co-chair.
She's also the co-chair.
Right? So maybe the function, like you say, is to run the party, the day-to-day, but also in events like this, they then become the coordinating mechanism, right, for convention.
Earlier, we were told that the chairman of the party was not aware that he was going to be challenged, right? He was shocked. Right. He felt betrayed. Right. My words. Surely the Secretary General knew that he was going to be challenged. We know that beforehand that in this case, Robin Lines met with the leader of the party. And she apparently from the news article there, she concluded that she will not run or challenge anymore, but change her mind afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know, again, the role of the Secretary General, what all she knows,
mm-hmm.
right? How does she orchestrate and make things happen?
And hopefully the PLP party takes advantage of the resources available to them at convention to share and disseminate this type of information, A, to their party members that can't get or be at the convention, mm-hmm. and then be the general public. I'll give them that preference, deference.
They should have a duty of care to the general public.
Right.
By this time, the Secretary General should have reached out to all media groups. She and her team should have been informing, this is what we plan to do, this is what happens. So the general public and party supporters can appreciate the process and say, hey, one day I want to be a part of this process.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can acknowledge that there is a profound lack of information on the PLP website. I mean, it's a significant...
I think that's for a reason. So you can't quote them. People like you go there and copy and paste and then bring it here and read.
Like use their words.
Yeah, no, they don't like that.
I mean, but they had all the time in the world to craft their own words.
That's okay.
But
it's missing for a reason.
In the absence of information, you leave people to speculate. You know, I could imagine that you can get a text in 3 minutes to say, Aaron, you need to do your research. I tried other than going to Gambier House and setting up camp outside and risking people thinking I'm a PLP. What more can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. A couple more changes, right?
Yes, I was going to say, I want to go back to the list of what else they claim they're going to be talking about in the October article.
Right, but hot topic. In fact, the word is on the hot button topics, right? So the essence of the discussions and decisions, as a quote, on the hot button topics will be communicated to the public, even though they will occur during the closed sessions. Republic at convention, marital rape.
You're going too fast, man. What would a republic?
One of the issues on the table is going to be transitioning to a republic.
We're going to go to the republic? I know that's a... Is this a cry by the general Bohemian populace to say that we want to be a republic?
Actually,
that the PLP has decided to have that as a hot button topic at their convention?
You'd be surprised. There are a lot of people who think that the problem is the Westminster system itself. That's the issue. And that the Westminster system itself permits or enables a style of politics that they think should be changed, right? I don't want to inform it. Sorry, but call a call back. I don't inform it with my own, with my own bias.
Okay. What's the next topic? Calling a call right now. Go ahead. What the next topic is?
Why you wouldn't run off of that so fast?
No. I appreciate it. I don't want to go over and we keep on slowing down. I want to slow down and go back. Go ahead.
Okay,
what the next topic is?
Now, again, that was an old article. I gotta pull it up again.
That's the only article they send. So that's the current article. It ain't old no more.
Well, it's 26th of October. That's about it right now.
So, talking about the Republic.
Yeah.
Marital rape bill.
Yeah.
And what else?
Marijuana for recreational use.
And marijuana. I thought we concluded about the marijuana thing. That we're going to entertain the RAS system. And it's going to be medical marijuana. We still haven't come. The PLP is still having conversation about recreational marijuana.
Well, it's the PLP who told us we're not going to have recreational marijuana. So
or the government who said that. That's different. Remember you told me to distinguish between the group. This is the PLP party, not the government.
Well, you're right. It's the government that told us that we wouldn't have recreational use. Mm-hmm. But it appears as if elements of the Davis administration think that the question of recreational use needs to be put on the table again.
Mm.
Absolutely. And see, for this, it's not just recreational use for Bahamians. If I were a savvy PLP and I was trying to make a name for myself in the party, I would start talking about tourism and recreational cannabis use.
You can't control tourists. They just want to smoke in public and thing, man.
That's why you got to put it on a restricted island that you have to pay to go to.
Move that to Grand Bahama.
No.
They ain't doing nothing there. You read the list. What about Grand Bahama?
Let's not go there yet, because there is an article speaking specifically to what residents in Bimini say they need, right? And I want to pull that in.
Will it be talked about at the convention?
To be talked about at the convention.
But we just have a list of what it's going to be talked about.
See, now, mind you, that article is October 26th, right? This is the residents of Bimini now.
Mm-hmm.
So that article is coming emanating from the PLP. These are now constituents mm-hmm. who are saying what matters they think should be on the table for the by-election. I just wanted to touch just on some issues that I think should be on the table.
This is your commentary then,
PLP's commentary. But this is what I presume will be on the table.
Go ahead. For convention. Quickly run through that then.
Bastion, our backs are against the wall. The fuel issue, that can be on the table.
I don't think that's important. Go ahead. What else? I wouldn't bring it up at my convention.
It's not a matter of whether you, the executive, bring it up. It's a matter of whether the body brings it up. PM does not foresee humanitarian crisis from shantytown demolition. This is a big one.
I'm not sure if the PLP wants to bring it up at their convention. Not that they shouldn't. I don't think that this is a national issue, a government policy issue. And I think that that's one of those topics that tends to go awry.
The question is, can the PLP prevent it from being put on the table?
They have agenda. You go by saying, this is why the chairman tends to say, this is on the agenda, this is all we entertain it.
So this is a false democracy then?
No. You have the agenda.
Just like when we went to COB 12 years ago for the talk on all forms of marriage outside traditional marriage, but we ain't talking about same-sex marriage.
No, we ain't talking about that. That's a different thing.
See, that's a different type of democracy.
Yep.
That's why we have to take a spotlight into
that. We ain't talking about weed we ain't talking about no immigrants at all at the PLP convention.
And the PLP say they're talking about recreational use. I think that this shantytown issue is going to be an issue on the table. I think PLP is going to force a conversation about it. I think this is something that people who have been thinking about it and working on strategies in the party, working on policy for years, some of them for decades, will raise this matter.
Mm.
Because what does the prime minister see? I mean, what does he see that we don't see?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think party members are going to demand some clarity. They want to see what the prime minister sees.
Okay.
I think the fuel issue going to be an issue. I think the BPL issue going to be an issue.
I ain't talking about none of that,
Aaron. I think they can talk about how come turkey and ham so high.
They ain't talk about that either.
You don't think they can talk about that?
No, that ain't important for us PLP. Why keep on saying us?
I have a feeling I know why. The direction the conversation had been.
No, but I say us because I look at them as the government. So I tend to say us, and then I catch myself and say, why I said us just now? But anyway. That's something subliminal. Okay. Them feuding spooks.
It's cultural. It's cultural.
I don't want people to label me. All of a sudden they label me and say, I hate when you say us, and I didn't intend it to mean us.
It's a narrative that we fall into because it's a narrative that has been created by the political class for political expediency. It benefits them when you can't make the distinction between government and party. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Sorry, we had you holding so long. How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning, how you doing?
I see you crab walking all the way.
But I'm concerned because I'm catching myself saying it, and it's not intentional, no. It's just for the conversation, but I caught myself again just now.
But you know, sometimes things that sticks to the back of the mind tends to come out when you're not really focusing on the scenery.
That's what it is. That's what it is, then.
Anyway, I hear you talking about all of these important topics that should be discussed, but... I'm with Mr. Neary. These things need to be discussed. They're going to discuss who should or who should not replace Mr. Mitchell if that's going to happen. And it's all going to be, what are we going to do for us? And how are we going to get this this way? And it's all going to be an conversation. It's not going to have anything to do with the general public.
That breaks my heart. Just breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's going to have nothing to do with the general public. And if you look at how they operate as a party, they are very inclusive. They really tend to focus
on
themselves.
Yeah, insular.
Yeah, they tend to focus on themselves and what is best for the party. When they're in that mode, they're not worrying about what's best for the country. They're still worrying about what's best for the party, and that's the discussion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You think they're going to be fighting over which constituency can get the next airport upgrade?
I'm more able to entertain such. Does the chairman of a party, is it paid? Is it a paid thing or is it a volunteer position?
That's another thing.
Like the secretary general, does she get any stipend? Like say, hey, hold on that money?
Yeah, 1 second. Just hold the line for us, caller. Just hold the line. We're coming to you right now. I couldn't find any information on the website.
And should that, if they do get stipend, should that be public so I could know how much money? Because I still, even though the government said they paid for that Bermuda trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know how much they paid. They still didn't tell me that they paid. This is the amount of money they paid.
What you know about that Bermuda trip?
That the Progressive Liberal Party here in the Bahamas went to support the PL, with a group, what they call it in Bermuda? Went to support the PLP.
The Bermuda Progressive Liberal Party.
What the acronym stand for? Or the
Progressive Liberal Party. Did you know that the Bahamian Progressive Liberal Party has a sister organization called the Bermuda Progressive Liberal Party? Let's take the caller, and then when we're done with the caller, we're going to go back to things you didn't know in 2023. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller.
I was wondering, good morning, hey, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Neary.
Morning. Thank you for holding, eh?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Mike.
You can hear me clear?
Clear.
I was wondering if the story that Neary was reading earlier this week with the armor car robbery, if they did find someone and if that was an inside job, if they get the money back.
It's on the front page of one of the newspapers.
It is because I'm blind and I can't see it.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
You. I hang up and listen to hear what you have to say, buddy.
Just because it's you. Yeah, just because it's you. And because he's blind too.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short detour. We're going to get back to things you didn't know about the PLP in a brief second. So we're going to read from this article in today's Tribune. Two accused of $1.4 million theft from security car. Yeah, what did I say? Security car.
It's a car, not an armor
at
car.
At airport.
No, finish reading, then we go on break.
One second, producer. Give me 1 second. You can play the music in the background very lightly. Two men accused of stealing more than $1 million from a bank security car at an airport last week were in court yesterday, where they were each granted $250,000 bail. Hold on, you could get bail after being accused of stealing a $1.4 million?
I would use that same money to pay my bail, but that's just me.
The pair are accused of breaking into the rear window of an unattended security vehicle transporting cash for the Bank of the
Pause. I don't know. I didn't know you could break a security car vehicle window.
Pause. I didn't know you could break an armored car, armored truck window.
Did you say security car, though?
Yeah. I ain't never seen a security car.
I would like to know what name that car is registered under. Is it registered under the security? And how come they ain't calling it a security company name yet? But go ahead.
Well, we can read the article and see if it's contained within. The pair are accused of breaking into the rear window of an unattended security vehicle transporting cash for the Bank of the Bahamas to a private airport on November 2nd. The suspects reportedly stole $1,475,000 in cash. About $5 of that is mine. I mean, that's all I had, but...
So why did the central bank only listed that they had 1,000 20s? Because we used to talk about this $1 million plus for the public. We're rumored about this $1 million plus. But when we just added up from the article, we only got like $200,000.
No, that was the 20s. Remember, in the notice published by the central bank, mm-hmm. they indicated, because they were in sequential serial numbers, how many 20s that we were able to surmise, how many bills were taken because they listed the sequential numbers, right? Because they listed the numbers. The $10 bills were random, and they indicated that the authorities know the serial numbers for those bills, but they did not indicate, and we could not surmise, how many bills, $10 bills were taken.
So we conclude that was three quarter of $1 million worth of $10. See, there you go.
Roughly.
Okay. Finish the article so we go on a commercial
right,
break.
Yeah, quickly. Oral Roberts, 34, and Akeel Holmes, 26, were charged with stealing and conspiracy to commit stealing yesterday before Magistrate Kendra Kelly. Again, they are suspects. They have been charged. They have not been found guilty. Holmes faced additional charges of money laundering and receiving. Nathan Smith and Bjorn Ferguson represented the accused. Again, because they are only accused. They are suspects, and they have not been found guilty. Later the same day, Holmes was allegedly found with $45,000 in cash. After pleading not guilty, the accused were informed that they have to sign in at the Carmichael Road Police Station every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday by 6 p.m. as a condition of their bail. The two are expected to return to court for trial on February 20th and 21st next year.
Okay, so you can play the music now. We're going on that break.
Yeah.
I just want to read that there. Read that there.
Yeah,
so only one was found with money.
Yeah.
And now we got to prove that that's same money. So if he don't have that sequential money, that's his ace who draw.
Mr. Newry.
He win a number. The man win a number, man.
Mr. Newry, ask me why I run.
Why you run?
Because I have no idea what's going on here. So I run away.
Yes.
To things I know about. You guys stay tuned.
We'll continue
on the clock.
We'll continue with the convention and the by-election.
And the Bermuda Progressive Liberal Party.
Yes.
On the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Under my feet, grass grow no more. Ask me why I run. Tell you why I run. Say the woman at the door had a doggone shotgun.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. You're going to... I'm going to beg your forgiveness. I'm a little unsteady. I just watched a disturbing video in the break. It's not news yet, so we're not talking about it. Let's get back to the show. Joining us in studio after the break is Mr. Ian Munnings. Good morning, Mr. Munnings.
Good morning this morning. Good morning, Bahamas. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Did you know that the PLP has a sister party?
Well, I would have assumed that when the large contingent went down to Bermuda at one point in time, that that would have been some sort of support.
Well, the Progressive Liberal Party has a sister party called Bermuda Progressive Liberal Party. The Bermuda Progressive Liberal Party is Bermuda's oldest political party. After being Her Majesty's opposition from 1968 for 30 years, the party held power from 1998 to 2012. The party once again sat in opposition from December 2012 for 4.5 years, but was returned to government in a historic election on July 18, 2017. I was going to include the history of how the party was formed, but what I read on their website sort of conflicted from what I learned on the ground in the Bahamas. So I'm going to read briefly from the presentation that the Prime Minister made at the Progressive Liberal Party of Bermuda's convention. And this is on the 19th of October, 2022. Honored and distinguished guests, my sisters and brothers, good evening. I believe that somewhere in heaven they're smiling tonight. I believe that somewhere in heaven, Dame Lewis Brown Evans and Sir Lyndon Oscar Pindling smiling tonight. Smiling because it is on nights like tonight when the Progressive Liberal Party of Bermuda and the Progressive Liberal Party of the Bahamas come together. We are the heirs and successors to a vision, their vision. A vision that has culminated in our two great political movements holding the trust and confidence of our respective peoples to lead them towards a brighter future. And so, my brothers and sisters of Bermuda, I greet you in our traditional way and say, Ian, you know this? You know this? You know this?
Yes, I know this because I was a member of the NDP, National
Development Party.
Right? And we used to shout out NDP. We say, I forget what you say, NDP. Anyway, this incident, right?
Yeah.
Members went to meet with the Progressive Liberal Party. So they came back. Right? And we put our chant, which is, it's possible.
Yeah.
Right? So we shout out NDP, and we was going to say, it's possible. But someone jump up and say, all the way. And then the party break up right after that. They all joined the PLP. And I said, what the hell happened here? NDP all the way.
I just want you all to know that virtually all of that story was a true story. Virtually all of it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So now it's NDP.
Ian, you know the...
all the way.
You know the traditional way that PLPs greet each other?
I'm just baffled of the fact that CA would say that. At that moment, there was no longer a party.
I mean, I need you to understand that that's the truth. That's the moment.
Oh, so a slogan just killed the party.
I'm telling you.
They joined the formation.
They got God.
Man.
They got brought into the fold. But, sir, you are, let me ask, are you a supporter of the PLP?
Well, I can say this for fact. I'm a Bahamian first.
Yeah.
And my opinion to politics in the Bahamas is that people ought to support the individuals rather than parties,
okay,
who's best suited for the communities at large and the Bahamas or the Bahamian people in general.
Well, in the 2012 election, my aunt Ona Bailey said that all her family members are PLP. And so when I went to the next family meeting, I was informed that I was a PLP.
That's like my Grammy and them.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. This is what it is. PLP?
All the way.
No, sir.
That's like you just said all the way. I don't know.
No, I didn't say that. He said that. This is the traditional way that PLPs greet each other, at least between PLP Bermuda and PLP Bahamas. I don't know. I'm not a member of the party. PLP? PLP? PLP.
All the way?
No, that's no. They don't say that. Anyway, this is directly from the speech from the Prime Minister. I want to sort of step down a bit. I'm going to just read excerpts from it. The Prime Minister says, in helping to found the PLP of Bermuda, Sir Lyndon and Dame Louise recognize the shared history of our two countries, the shared values of our two ideologies, and the shared needs of our two peoples, right? So you're reading the Prime Minister's speech, and you would think, well, these two prominent figures, Sir Lyndon Pindling and Dame Brown Evans, formed the party. But when you go to the party's website, they have a slightly different history. It doesn't entirely refuse the presence of Dame Brown Evans, right? But it's just very interesting. And I wonder if this type of history will also be a part of the convention experience.
But I think it's similar to what we are experiencing now within the 23rd century, right? What we're looking at, the Prime Minister from Barbados, and we're seeing the Bahamas Prime Minister currently, which is Mr. Davis. And we're seeing both of them lead the charge with climate change and blue carbon and these particulars, right? So we're looking at some sense of them at the same level of conversation or mindset and pitching this pitch to the global world. So I think that might have been the exact like same thing during the time with Sir Lyndon and Mr. Brown.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, here's another thing. I wonder if this is going to be on the convention floor for discussion. Reading again from the Prime Minister's remarks at the Progressive Liberal Party of Bermuda Convention, 19th of October, 2022. This is at the end of the speech. Tonight, I wish first to make an announcement and then to extend two further invitations. First, in recognition of the close ties between our two countries, the Bahamas will appoint an honorary consul to Bermuda. So I imagine that that's going to be an issue on the convention floor for discussion. Simple. It'd have to be, because it'd have to come to the House. I mean, that's a national level appointment. That's not something that the party just said. He's not appointing honorary consul to the PLP Party Bahamas, right? You know, or to the PLP Party Bermuda. This is an honorary consul to Bermuda.
Well, I'm assuming that I can't speak for the Prime Minister, but I'm assuming that he's looking at the ties of the negotiations with persons and further expanding the reach of the Bahamas within these Caribbean archipelagos of islands.
Right, and it may seem innocuous in and of itself, but if the question of will we begin the process of becoming a republic is also put on the table, right, then the question of why an honorary consul to Bermuda arises, right? I'm not suggesting anything nefarious, people. Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of thinking through policy, right? Because after the state's visit to the coronation for the king, I get the impression that we are not interested in becoming a republic. And so I see an honorary consul to Bermuda in the discussions. I'm thinking that the matter's going to be on the table, but what's also going to be on the table is a push for why we should remain a monarchy. And here we are building closer ties with our former colony brothers and sisters, because those relationships were forged through our pushing out the colonies, right? And so that's what I sort of see. To my texters, we get to some of these texts on the other side. I was not in charge of the text machine this morning, but I got a text here. It says, good morning to you both. My thing is, why is the government entity using a private car in the first place? Like, they've been doing this forever and they don't have a proper way in doing this. And also these people are getting bail and other people doing time for stealing a loaf of bread. Texter, I'm glad I read this because I think we can get into the other half. These are issues that should be on the convention floor coming up at the PLP convention. We're taking a break. On the next side of the news, we're going to start the Guardian Radio AM portion of the Man Down Mashup Wednesday session. We're talking convention. We're going to talk by-election. We're talking declarations and public disclosures. We're talking what should be on the convention floor and what are some of the issues being raised by the constituents in West Grand Bahama and Bimini in the face of the upcoming by-election. Thanks for tuning into this hour, but please stay tuned. We will be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.